he play center field? I know he played center field, but he'd think he'd be so...
I don't know. Apparently he did. Of course, he had Kyler at one time on one side of him.
That would help.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Rig Stevenson on the other side. Well, you and
I want to tell you something about Hack, since you asked. He had promised a kid that went to a military academy outside of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Boston boy. That our first trip in and the first off day, or rather, that we had, he would come out to see him. So, we had an off day. And breakfast, I'm down having breakfast, and Hack comes down and says, "Hey, Hack, you're out early to get ready to go see that kid up at..."
Yeah.
He had kind of forgotten about it. He says, "Oh, yeah." He says, "Will you go with me?" I says, "Yeah, I'd be glad to go with you." He hired a cab. Jeez, I don't know, can't think of the name of the school anymore, but it was like about 70, 80 miles. He hired that cab there, cab there, and when we got through, we come home.
No kidding.
But that's the type of guy's happy.
Yeah. See, a lot of people don't know that stuff. Because they remember him sitting all those home runs.
Geez, he was powerful. Yeah.
But he was pretty young when he was done, too.
Yeah,
stay up too long.
His lifestyle caught up with him.
Yeah. Well, Tom Zachary was there for a little while, too. He was most famous for throwing the 60th home run ball.
Yeah. At Brooklyn, you're talking.
Dutch Leonard just starting out then?
Dutch Leonard was in the bullpen.
Was he throwing knuckleballs then?
Yeah.
Was he always a knuckleballer?
Well, not so much then. That's when he was really... I shouldn't say so much then. I don't know what preceded it.
Yeah.
My time there.
But that came later.
Yeah. I'll never forget. Both of us were sitting in a pen. I don't know. Lopez got wrapped on the fingers or something. And they called me in, and Dutch came in to pitch, and we all played day games, you know.
Yeah.
And we didn't sometimes start till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so that shadow would creep out in front of the hitter. And Dutch was in there with that knuckleball, and he threw it so darn hard. So.
Out of the shadows, too.
Yeah. Paul Wehner's the hitter, and we got to get Paul out in order to win the game, to save the game. Jeez. The first knuckleball he throws me, I miss it entirely. Clem is the umpire, and he had a habit of putting his foot between the catcher's spread, you know.
Yeah.
Like they hit him on the foot, ball stayed there. And he jumped around, and he was a little bit disturbed about it. He was grumbling. The next pitch, I'll be damned if the same thing didn't happen. And he said, "Now you're doing it on purpose." I said, "No, I'm not." He said, "If I knew you were doing it on purpose," he says, "you would be long gone." And he says, "No, Bill," I said, "I don't know how you can call
it." You catch this guy.
I said, "I don't know how you can call the pitch when I can't catch the damn thing." I said, "It comes into that shadow and this stuff."
Yeah.
And then he realized that. So throw him another knuckleball. Paul Wehner strikes out on the thing. And guess where I have it? In my bare hand.
Oh,
I says, "Bill, look where that ball wound up." And from that day on, we always, every time we see each other, we'd say, "Hey, Bob, about that knuckleball?" And he'd laugh.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, the knuckleball has got to be, that's got to be dreaded by catchers, I know.
Well, the damn thing, you know, you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah. And
lots of times it'll break down, but it goes like this, bow!
Oh.
And the next time it's left, it goes, whoosh!
So,
and if you're throwing it into a little wind, and you know, against it, it'll do anything.
It'll test your reflexes.
Oh man!
Okay, so
test your patience too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, one year the Senators, 45, I think, had three knuckleballers: Roger Wolf and Leonard and somebody else. And maybe it was Nigling.
Nigling.
Was he?
Nigling.
Yeah.
Roger Wolf. Little short left-hander.
But they were all knuckleballers.
Yeah, they were all knuckleballers.
That poor catcher, I don't know who that was. But.
Well, it was... that's a shame. Know him like a...
Yeah. Well, they always come back again. So in Sacramento, and then back up to Brooklyn in 36.
Yeah, then they come back to Brooklyn.
Now that so you knew you were back. Now that's when now and you and it looks like Babe Phelps kind of.
That's what I said. I was having a pretty good year and
yeah.
I was just catching all.
Well, that's when. Okay, I got gotcha.
Catching all those games through the heat. We went through double header in Chicago, and it was hotter than hell, 36. It was an extremely hot summer.
Ah.
And I remember going into St. Louis, but I'd be catching a double header down there, and I wasn't big enough for that stuff.
Yeah.
And my style of catching was like Nellie Fox. You know, I had to do things on the triple. If I did things on the single or the double, they thought I was tired.
Oh, gee,
and
see, yeah.
So I had to maintain it.
Looking at
standard. But I can still see Babe Phelps. I'd come in from catching a hot inning or something, you know. He'd open up his shirt, and he'd pour that ice water down there. I'd come in, I'd stick my feet in that Florida water, you know, and ice, shoes and all.
Oh.
And he'd hand me a cup of ice water.
Oh. I mean, with all that stuff on.
Yeah, and then I went into Cincinnati, and it was hotter than the devil there, you know, human along the river. Then, like I say, when we got back home, Stango gave me a rest. It was the worst rest I ever had, because I rested a long time.
More than you wanted to.
Yeah, because then Babe started hitting like a madman, and he hit about 360.
Good hitter,
yeah.
Well, and then Lopez had gone to Boston in the meantime,
that's right.
Apparently.
Oh, Al loved to kid me about that. You know, the two of us being traded back and forth.
Yeah, well, you kept me on, and of course, you were with him a long time with the White Sox.
Well, I was there ahead of him. I was 9 years ahead of him at the White Sox.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah.
Who was? Well, we'll get to that, of course. But now, you caught 105 games with the Dodgers, and then 37 it was Louisville.
Burley Grimes had never seen me play, and he took me by my average, you know. And he had an outfielder at Louisville that he wanted, and Louisville wanted me in the trade because they had no catcher.
Okay.
So that's how it turned out.
Ah.
And I was going to quit, and I said, I was really despondent.
Yeah, because you'd been up and down a couple of times by then.
And I said, well, my chances are going to run out. What do I have to do to get back up? And I'm going to another hot town again.
Yeah.
You know. And, anyway, I was going to quit. And four of them wrote to me, called me. One came in particular. He says, don't quit. He says, I think I can get you back to the big leagues if you have just a mediocre year. He said, and it happened to be Pittsburgh, and I'll tell you why. So I went to Louisville, and the day I had two foul balls in a row hit me on the toe.
Oh, there,
and to this day, I have to go and have it worked out.
No kidding.
Yeah. And
there were two, that's got to smart a little bit.
It broke it and broke the nail and everything, and I still have to go to have it worked on. I can't cut it myself.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, I was sold to Pittsburgh with a broken toe.
Oh, gee. Did they know that?
No.
Oh.
And so,
you limped into Pittsburgh?
When I limped in, they said, where the hell you been? You should have been here a week ago. I said, I wasn't notified until yesterday. So, and what's with the foot? I said, I got it broken the last.
Now, Pi Trainer was the manager
then. Yeah, then I didn't catch that in 37 until the last day of the season. I caught a doubleheader. And lucky enough, I caught two kids who had a real tough year, and they had a spectacular day.
So I got the credit.
So I was all set for the following year.
Great.
But I was brought back primarily to catch a lot of times the curveball pitchers, like Blanton, Rush Bowers, and a couple more, especially in the latter part of the ball game, because I had that good arm, I had that quick arm, and I was quick with my hands, and I was exceptionally good thrower as far as.
So you were getting a reputation
as a defensive.
Yeah.
So I was brought back for that purpose primarily.
Kind of they call him a role player today.
Yeah.
Because now that was 37.
And you see, if a ball got away from a catcher with a runner on second base and it rolled back to the stands, he could score easily.
Because they had a big space.
Back there. And I was the only catcher that caught a ball into that net.
Oh, is that right?
Off of Myers. He wanted to kill me. To wind up the day in the ball game. Jim Tobin was the pitcher. He was another knuckleball pitcher.
Yeah.
And he was tickled to death, too, because he was having arm trouble at that time. That's why he resorted to a knuckleball pitcher.
A little easier on the arm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Al Todd was the catcher there.
Yeah, Al Todd. Big, strong guy.
Was he?
Yeah, big, strong guy. Now, what a comparison. We look like Mutt and Jeff.
You didn't take them on at all.
No.
Well, you had, yeah, well, that's when you, the Wainers were there, and Archie Vaughn, and,
yeah,
and Johnny Dickshott was
there. Johnny Dickshott was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had some pretty famous people that you played with.
Yeah.
There. And so then 38, 38, 39, and most of 40 with Pittsburgh.
No, part of 40. Frisch took over the ball club.
Oh, yeah, he took over. Yeah, okay.
I wasn't a good enough hitter for Frisch, and I knew that.
He was probably such a good hitter himself that he didn't have tolerance for other...
Yeah, he would, oh, and he'd give you hell, too, when somebody hit a home run off a fastball.
Is that right? Say, you'd get blamed for that,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, you'd get blamed for that. See, this was the worst part of my career. I couldn't hit well enough to offset all of this.
Yeah.
And it bothered me. It bothered me no end.
If you're a 320 hitter, they wouldn't even...
No, they're glad to have you.
Yeah.
They didn't want you to get mad at him.
Like Ernie Lombardi. I mean, that guy, he...
Oh, God. You know, he was a better catcher than they gave him credit
for. Is that right?
Yeah.
He was always known for being so slow, but he was a good defensive
catcher,
too.
He was very slow, but he could handle a bat. He could hit and run as good as anybody.
Is that right?
Oh. And if he wanted to, he could beat out a bat once, beat out a bunt. But he could throw... It was always amusing for me to watch him catch after we became teammates.
Yeah.
A lot of times that ball down in the dirt, the curveball that he couldn't shift for, he'd reach out with his bare hand, whop, pick it up dirt and all. Not all the time, but okay,
yeah.
It'd be just enough to...
Yeah. I remember seeing him in an old-timers game one time, and I don't know, he must have been 60. And boy, he hammered that ball.
Yeah.
He could still hit it at 60. Well, then...
What a good guy.
Was he a good guy?
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah. And he snored something awful.
Oh, that nose of his.
Yeah, he'd some... another guy, one of the players, and I used to coax him into going to a show once in a while. We knew what would happen. He'd fall asleep. He'd fall asleep and snore. And everybody would look around.
He'd provide the entertainment.
Yeah. You know, one time we went up to, what was it? McWanico?
Yeah.
Not McWanico. Where the Marines...
Oh, I know it. Quantico.
Quantico.
Quantico, Virginia. Yeah.
See, to play an exhibition game, and we kind of stayed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
In the barracks, you know. And he got the snoring. And the guy in charge of the barracks, he thought it'd be fun if, you know, he turned the microphone on and it went into all those other... went into all those other barracks.
And we're he slept right through it.
We were on a train one night when he got the snoring, and the conductor was walking through, and he thought the guy was dying. He stopped the train to get medical assistance.
Who the heck roomed with him, for heaven's sakes?
A guy by the name of Boisel, who was dead.
Bill Boisel.
He was very hard of hearing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
From 96 Virginia, or
yeah,
North Carolina,
yeah,
I think.
North Carolina.
Oh. Well, who are some of the people you roomed with? During those times?
At Brooklyn, my first year with Brooklyn, I roomed with Al quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
Same, I thought it would be a good idea.
Yeah.
He's a real good guy.
Was he a good teacher?
Yeah, good guy. And at Pittsburgh, I roomed with Red Lucas, a pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
And at New York, I roomed with Billy Werber.
Infielder.
Yeah, and Jesus, in Boston, I roomed with Salvo, a pitcher that was a pitcher with me when we were at the Sacramento together.
Yeah.
And then when I went back to Boston in 47, as a player, sort of as a player coach, I never played a game that year.
Hmm.
But that's when I started working a lot with the pitchers, warming up pitchers. And
they were
signing a lot of kid pitchers, and you kind of helped. With either the sale of the pitcher, or the purchase of the pitcher.
Yeah.
Or try to sell them on joining the organization.
Ah, okay. Kind of.
And then I kind of endeared myself to Billy Southworth. We had a pitcher in Pittsburgh one day, a young lad, who Pye Trainer had offered $65,000 to.
Mm.
And he thought that he'd get more with Billy. Billy would offer him more if he liked him. So we went down in the bullpen, and the kid had pretty good stuff. and he had a pretty good sinker that day. But I...
The pause button on. This is an interview with Mr. Ray Berries, and this is March 19th, 1996. We're just testing to see if this thing works or not. Ignore this thing, Ray, and see what comes out. Like I said, I've got
you
all
might
that.
Have some pushing.
Oh, I do. Oh, do I ever.
I'll take off.
Okay. Well, what was now, you were born in Kenosha.
Right.
Now, what was like growing up in Kenosha in those days?
Well, I thought it was wonderful. The streets weren't paved. We played baseball out in the streets every day.
Can't do that.
Morning, noon, and night. And always had a bunch of kids around of my size and time, and we were always playing a game. And as time went on, we move around on school grounds and see if there's games going on.
Always, just looking for games.
Always looking for games. We probably walked almost from one end of the town to the other to find a game.
Now, was that interest? Did you have that right off the bat? Did you just love baseball right off the bat?
I think it was because of a group of kids of that time and that era.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, it still amazes me that today it's soccer or something like that.
Yeah.
But when did you, how about your family? What did your dad do, for example?
My dad was a maintenance man. What I mean by doing carpenter work and repair work.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Was he a baseball fan, too?
No, my dad didn't know too much about it.
Ah. Now, where was he from?
He was from Germany. He came over as a young lad years ago.
Okay.
I'm of German descent.
Yeah, me too.
My mother, of course, was born in the States.
Okay. Well, I'm a little bit of German myself, about a quarter or so, yeah.
You got a little kraut in you.
A little kraut, yeah. Now, how about brothers and sisters?
I had, there's two brothers and four sisters. There were seven of us.
Huh. Where were you in that lineup?
I was the N1.
Oh, you were the...
I was a spoiled brat.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was there a distance between you and the...
Oh, yeah, the older ones. That was another thing that kept me interested. I had a brother that pitched a little bit. I'm talking about sandlot baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a brother that caught. And, of course, I was fascinated by the mask and all that equipment. And his baseball shoes. I know when I started playing little sandlot ball, real little sandlot ball, equivalent to Little League, perhaps. Oh, I'd wear his shoes. I'd get his shoes. They fit much too big.
But they were shoes. They were baseball shoes.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Yeah.
Well, how did, when did you find out that you were a pretty decent player?
Well, as we kids grew up, we hung around pretty much together.
Yeah.
And we formed, had our team, and some of us played from little on till I left to play professional ball. And we played in and around Chicago.